We're going to be looking at the book of Revelation. We have the season of Advent, okay? So it's the 4 weeks that lead up to Christmas Day, and we celebrate, like I said, before Christ being born on Christmas Eve in our church at the candlelight service. So hopefully you can come to all of the services leading up to that one, including that one, as we celebrate the coming of Jesus. That's the meaning of Advent. It means to come. It's a Latin word. And so it's twofold for us as Christians. First of all, we remember that Jesus came, right? He came as promised in the Old Testament. And even before we had the Old Testament, it was promised that he would come to save us from our sins, and he would come in the form of a baby. And we celebrate that coming of Jesus at Christmas time in our faith. And it's an exciting time. And then the second coming of Jesus, after he died and rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, promising that he would come again. And so we wait for him now, right? And so we are now waiting and for the coming of Jesus for that second time. There's a distinction between the two of them that we remember. First of all, the first people that were waiting for Jesus to come as the Messiah, right? The Messiah was to come and was going to save them, right? It was going to save them, and they waited in great expectation of that day. And so they were looking for that, and it was fulfilled in Jesus being born in Bethlehem as the scriptures promised, right? And so when we are in the position we're in, we can look back and reflect on how they must have felt and do a little bit of a comparison when we're reading our Bibles in the Old Testament to know what kind of struggles they went through, so that we can be alert and awake to those things that they fell short in, so that we will be able to conquer and not fall into those kind of ways. We're sinful people. We fall asleep, right, while waiting. But we can look at the Old Testament and see how God had promised, wait for me, I am coming. Jesus is coming, the Messiah is coming. And yet they fell into idol worship. They felt, if I don't see him, then, you know, out of sight, out of mind, I'm going to try something else. And it didn't take long, oftentimes, for people to forget that Jesus was the promised Messiah and that he was coming, and that they were to be alert to that. And the scriptures that we read today talking about being awake were really in the Old Testament scriptures to tell the people to be awake for the coming of Jesus at Christmas time that we celebrate. Right? And so we want to be alert to the fact that although we don't see him, we still love him, right? That was taught by Peter, one of the ones who was waiting for Jesus to come as a baby. And he knew Jesus as a man and saw him die for us on the cross and rise again and ascend into heaven. And so he taught us to be awake in our faith and to live in expectation of Jesus in the way that we think and live, right? And so those are great reminders for us to go into Advent season. It's a very joyful season because we know that God sent his son, and we can celebrate Christmas with that knowledge that he did that. He came just as he said he would. And therefore, we know that the promise is true that he will be coming again, and one day we will see him. The book of Revelation is a tremendous book, and we don't often enough read it, but it's important that we do. And so today we're going to be looking at the last chapter of Revelation that actually speaks of Jesus saying, I'm coming again four times. There's four times that he says that. We only read a couple of those, but we can go through that in a second. But first I want to read you something that was written in a book called the Book of Common Prayer. It's a prayer book that was assembled by wonderful Christians over the years. And they had this to say about the communion that we have in Jesus Christ. It says, he has instituted and ordained holy mysteries like the communion that we would come together to celebrate and think about the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. That is considered a sacrament. And it's a mystery, a great mystery, that we would be able to come together and celebrate the bread and the cup of Jesus' body being offered for us, right? And so they talk at it in that kind of a way, but this is the way they describe it in this book. It is a pledge of his love. Communion together, taking communion, the cup and the bread, is a pledge of love, right? It's not our love, it's the pledge of God's love toward us, that he would send his son from heaven and the glory of it come in the form of a baby. And that was a pledge of his love. Isn't that a wonderful way to put it? God pledges his love to us. And there is a lot to be said in the Bible also about marriage, a pledge of love in that kind of a way. But it begins with God for us. All human beings have this pledge that he makes. I am going to love you with an everlasting love. You remember that verse in Jeremiah? I have loved you with an everlasting love. So beautiful. And that is the promise that we have at this time of year and every month, every day that we wake up, we want to remember that. And so this common prayer was talking in this way about communion, but it also says this: we could apply the same beautiful words in the same sense to the book of Revelation. It is sometimes a book that throws people and they feel a little bit confused by some of the things that are written there, but it's a beautiful way to look at this book today in the way that it was put in the book of Common Prayer as a pledge of God's love for us. Revelation, good way to think about it. God is revealing himself. Jesus is revealing himself with a pledge of love that he is coming again. And that is the pledge that we can depend upon. It is a fulfilled promise in the birth of Christ, and it is going to be a fulfilled promise when he comes again. Amen? So it's very beautiful to think of it that way, and it really is about love, and that is the way we want to approach this today. There's some other things that God has for us to learn. So I mentioned in chapter 22, there are numerous mentionings of Jesus saying he's coming again. In verse 7, hear the word of God. And behold, I am coming soon, says Jesus. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecies of this book. Revelation is filled with beatitudes. Remember the beatitudes of Jesus that he taught to his disciples when he was with them on the earth, and we read those and they become our also the scriptures that help us in life to know what is most important, that a humble heart, a servant heart, a mournful heart for sin, these kind of things. And then we see it fulfilled here also at the very end in the book of Revelation. So it's not just a one-time kind of a thing. It's a continuation of God's love poured out for us with promises, right? Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. And so it's important that we read this book, isn't it? Not to be thinking it's too hard to understand and things like that, but when we approach it with the pledge of love that God has given to us, it opens up our hearts to the true message from heaven above. So he says again, behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Read the book of Revelation. Okay. There is another one in verse 12. Behold, I am coming soon. Right? Bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. That is a reward for Jesus, for those who belong to him. But there's also a judgment for those who do not know God and refuse to give their lives to God, right? And so the meaning of Jesus coming back is to repay each one for what he has done, but that includes judgment for those who don't belong to him, who have gone after idols and lived their lives in rejecting the truth, right? So he says again, behold, I am coming soon. And you notice again that word soon. Right? Soon has a very, very imminent feel to it, right? He's coming soon. And this is what God wants for us to hold in our hearts. We have a whole different concept of time. You know? I thought you were coming. I thought you said you were coming soon. Yeah, I know, but something happened. Right? We say things like that to one another. But God has a definite time in mind for Christ to return. He knows when he will come. And that word soon also gives us the awakened hearts that we need to have in anticipation of his return, right? If he would just say, well, I'm coming sometime, then that would lose that kind of an impact in our lives and in our hearts, so that we wouldn't be as really in tune with that to say, I'm going to stay away because he's coming soon, right? So we need to have that grasp that the meaning of that word soon here is to instill in our hearts the desire to see Jesus, like I said, when we wake up in the morning. Wouldn't that be a fabulous way from Advent to start doing that, to wake up in the morning instead of feeling like, oh, I don't know if I can do it. And you say, another day, this could be the day. This could be the day when he comes. Right? And these words today, brothers and sisters, are to stir up in our hearts, in our laziness and our sleepiness, just that precious love and excitement that God wants us to have in seeing him, experiencing him, walking with him, encountering him every day of our lives. And that is why we are more than conquerors, isn't it? Like it's read in, we read in God's word, we are more than conquerors because of what Jesus has done for us. And he is the Lord Jesus, and he came and walked on this earth. And he loves us so that he died for us and rose again, giving us eternal life. That is where our lives really begin, isn't it? In belief in Jesus and knowing that we have eternal life. Though we may die, yet we will live, right? So this is what God is saying to each one of us. Receive the word of God into your heart. Behold, I am coming soon. Behold, I'm coming soon, guys. Behold, I'm coming soon, brothers and sisters. And then we come down to the verses that that Alex read for us here. Verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. And so Jesus sent this angel to testify to the churches. You remember it begins that way in the book of Revelation. And so the book begins that way by saying, I am speaking through an angel who I'm sending to you. This is Jesus revealing the revelation of Jesus Christ for the churches. And so it's important that we stay awake and pay attention to these messages as the church of Christ. Do you know the importance of being here today in this church? Let God's word reemphasize that to you over and over in your life so that you run to be in the house of the Lord like David wrote. And when he was away from it, he missed it. And he yearned to be there, and that was that yearning to be in a place where people who knew God and worshiped God were together, and that was where he wanted to be. Let your life take that in and chew on it and eat from it and drink from all of the life that comes from what God is giving to us. Right? Such a blessing. The church has an immense importance, and we're going to see that more in the rest of the scripture here. But Jesus said, I have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches, the things that are coming, that are going to happen, right, in the future, and now in the present, but most of all, that he is coming again. So it would be for the churches to know this. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. I am the root. That refers to a verse in Isaiah that spoke about that. There's a root of Jesse, right, that springs up, right? So he's there and he's making a connection. Jesus is connecting the previous scriptures that the people who were waiting for him to come were given in anticipation of his birth in Bethlehem. And now he's saying, I'm the same root that is coming again. I am alive. I have died for mankind. I've fulfilled the purpose I was given in my life, that the Father gave to me, and I'm coming again, and I'm making that connection with you so that you can see it and depend upon it, knowing that that was fulfilled at my birth, and now I am coming again. So he's bringing it all together like that. There's many different things that we learn in life in that way, isn't there? You know, I'm a musician, and I'm reading, I'm kind of on a roll, reading about Beethoven and learning things from his music, listening to his music, and also reading books about him. And you could see within his life that he may not have known it, he may not have recognized it, that it was God, but God put people in his life that were essential to bless him and help him to be the great composer that he was. And you look at all through the story, just of a person, like a human being like Beethoven, and you can see when you read the biographies about it that this person came into his life, and he came out of nowhere. He shouldn't have been living in the small town that Beethoven lived in, but this man of great talent and musical knowledge found his way to be in that town, and Beethoven learned from him, and his father engaged this person to teach his son so that he would develop a skill that resulted in great, great work being done and music being composed by this composer. Beethoven is not Jesus, okay, but it's just an example of how in your own life, if you look at it now, identify the people who have stepped into your life from out of nowhere sometimes and have influenced your life, and that is God at work in your life. And that is an intention of his to show you in the same way, only greater, is my involvement in your life. I come into your life. I come in to your town. It doesn't matter how small or how big. It doesn't matter whether you're in a wealthy family or a poor one. I come into the hearts of people. And I do it in a dramatic way because I am the Lord, and there's no one like me. And you are my child, and I give all to you. And I use all means. I bring people into your life that will introduce the gospel. Even when you are turning your back on me, it doesn't matter. My love is too great for you. I'm coming anyway. And you're going to see at some point, hopefully, that I love you and I want you to be with me forever. I'm coming again. And so this time wakens us in our senses and also to our lives to be aware of people who are doing things in our lives for us through God's power. Many of them not even knowing it, but the same goes for you. You are being used as a vessel for God to bring the good news of Jesus Christ into your world. That is a purpose that we want to grasp, and that is the one that we want to really link into here, right? So Jesus is the root, and that came from Isaiah, and that was a fulfillment here of that I am the root then, and now I am the root. And then he was a descendant of David, giving him that connection that we all know who are studying the life of David on Wednesday nights, right? That this has a meaning too. He was a descendant of a human being, a king. The King David, right, one of these people who had a great importance in the lives of Jewish people, but also for us, because we can see the effect that he had in bringing this Messiah, right, through his line. And God chose him and made a covenant with David that his son, Jesus, would come through the line of David. So you see how God uses people? He used King David in that kind of a way to introduce us and all of us, really, to the Messiah, Jesus Christ, who came from that line. And we can, even though we don't live in England where they have kings, we have a king. We have a king who is the king of the kingdom, the greatest kingdom in the universe, and it's the kingdom of Jesus Christ. So we are servants of the king. And we worship the king, and we love the king, and we do anything the king tells us to do because we can trust him. Right? And so that there's that aspect. And then the bright morning star. The bright morning star. Let me read you something that was written about this that put it so well. The morning star is a promise that the long night of tribulation is all but over, and that the new eschatological, that means the last days, day is about to dawn. It's a promise. The morning star is Jesus Christ, right? And it is a promise that the long night of tribulation is all but over. Those are good words for today in our world, aren't they? Isn't that a word of hope for us, to think that there is a morning star called Jesus Christ, right? And that that is a sign, and the sign that we see today, and the sign that God gives us in his word, and the promises that he gives that Jesus is coming, means that there is tribulation, yes, and there's chaos. But he's greater. Don't give up hope. Stay awake. Don't fall into the darkness. I saved you from that, says God. Now be the light. Be the light. You are the light of the world. Amazing words coming from God, that we would be the light of the world. When you go into your workplace, do people see you as the light of the world, or do they see darkness? Right? It's a great question to ask ourselves. Are we representing a part of the hopelessness that the world is caught up in, or do we come in there dressed in Christ? Right? We just had a baptism. Put on Christ. Put on the clothing of Christ. We are clothed in Christ every day. Right? We don't belong to the darkness. So remember that, right? This is wonderful stuff to take to heart. The morning star. I am the morning star. I'm the promised morning star. Not some star, right, that some people think, you know, about worshiping because it's up there and it's shiny. I am the Son of God who brings light into darkness to expose the darkness so that it can be healed of its sin and the new life can be brought in. That is great stuff, right? So that is verse 16. We go to verse 17. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. Brothers and sisters, I want to offer this verse, 17, 22, 17. Take out your Bibles right now. Look at it. Take the Bibles in your pew. Take out your Bible. Take out your cell phone and highlight this verse, chapter 22, Revelation, verse 17, and take this with you today and pray over it and get to know it and memorize it. And let God's Holy Spirit bless you through it, right? There's many times over. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the Bride, right? The Bride of Christ is the church, says, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. All of these different beckoning calls to come, right? The Spirit is saying, come, Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, come into the world again, come, the second coming, right? It's also saying for people to come. But the Bride, the church, is also the vessel of God, and they are telling the people that don't know Christ to come. Before we go a little bit further, right, we'll get back into this verse in a second. But the Holy Spirit put a couple of times in the Bible into my mind about what it's like to wait for Jesus and his coming. Turn it around. Turn it around for a moment. Instead of us waiting for Jesus to come, think about how the Father is waiting for us to come. A father gives his son his inheritance far before it's due, an insult to the father. And he gives the son all of his inheritance money, angering his other son. And what does he do every day when he wakes up? He sets his sights on the horizon to see if his son is coming. Amen? And that is what God does with you and me. He's waiting for people to come to him. The Word of God is an amazing thing from an amazing God. But he waits for that moment, and when the son spends all the money and ruins his life completely, begging for food and not even the pig's food was given to him. Living in shame, he repents in his heart and he goes home hoping that the father will make him one of his servants. And what happens when he comes there and he gets closer to home? What happens? The father sees the son because he's waiting for him to come, and he runs to him to embrace him and to fold him in his arms. And the son is about to tell him, "Father, I've sinned and I just want to be a servant." And his father won't have any part of it because he's so overjoyed that his son has come home. And that is what the Bible is teaching us for the world around us. That God is waiting for us to come to him to be saved. And that's what this verse is really talking about. Let the one who hears say come to those who need to hear about Jesus Christ. Have you been doing it? Let us begin this Advent to tell people that God the Father is waiting for you to come home. Sinner, come home, because there is love there. Come to where you can grow and be fed with the finest feast that awaits for you. Break out the celebration. My son has come home. He was lost and now he's found. Who in your life fits that scenario? They are lost, but they can be found. What does it take? A word of the gospel to let them know that the Father is bidding them to come home, to come where there is life. We need to wake up. Amen. Sleeper, awake. Jesus says, bringing my recompense with me. Reward for what? Being good people? No. No. By loving God so much that we tell others about him and share him with others. We give our lives to him completely. And that is what he asks of you and me. And he can help us. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Are you thirsty? God asks us. He asks the world, are you thirsty? Are you drinking things that don't satisfy the thirst? Come to me and I will give you living water so that you don't have to go to the well anymore, Samaritan woman, and gather that water anymore. Oh, give me that. I want that. Let me have that. Yes, I will give it to you. And she receives it and she's saved. And she goes to tell all of the people in her home and all around her town, I've met the Messiah. We don't have to be thirsty anymore. There are things in my life, brothers and sisters, that I'm still drinking that are not satisfying. I'm tired of it. Aren't you tired of it? God, have mercy on our souls that we continue to want the things to drink in our lives and the things to eat in our lives that are not satisfying, that don't fill us up, but Jesus does. And that is what God is calling to us about today. Seek me, be thirsty for me, drink of the water that I have to give, eat of the food that I have to give. It is satisfying. Be bold about telling people about it because I will stand on those words. I have put my life on it. My Holy Spirit will go with you and give you the strength to do it. Don't be intimidated by people who put on earphones and block out all of the things so that they can't hear anything because life is just too hard and it's too hard to deal with all these things. And so they put more and more on their ears like that to block everything out, right? Don't be intimidated by that. There are people behind those earphones. There are people listening to these things. There are people that God is looking to save. and to come into their lives and say, I know you love that music, but I have more. Everybody's broken. Everybody has something. Everybody's going through things in life. We come to them with the gospel that breaks through all those things with love. I sat in my room growing up and put on the music as loud as I could, but I could not shut out Jesus. Right? There's more. Come to the waters. Isaiah spoke about that before Jesus was coming, and it was for Jesus' birth, and now Jesus is saying, it's the same thing, I'm the same one. Right? The only difference is that I went to earth and I saved you from sin, and now you can come to me and live with me forever because I have risen from the dead. And I love you. I want you to be saved. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. It's free. It doesn't cost anything. It's free. Take it. Right? Beautiful. And then we get to the verse 20, and he says, he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And that's where we want to be as we begin Advent. I'm coming soon. Come, Lord Jesus. Come into my life. Take me to the next level. Teach me those things that I can't imagine right now because I'm so addicted to this other stuff. That doesn't have as much meaning, but teach me what it means, Lord. Teach me how I can come to you and just have you. I saw a movie the other day where a guy had been untrue to his wife, and there was this moment where she found out and she was thinking, I just don't want to talk to this guy, and I don't want to talk to you, and it would be great if, you know, you really, really were that kind of person. You think that you want to be to me. And it was a very tense kind of a moment. And then he went over and he bowed down on one knee before her and he said, I'm yours. And all of the ice and all of the hurt and the wounds and the things that she was feeling started to take effect because she could tell that he meant it. And that is what God does with us. We just need to say, Lord, I'm yours. Right? Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. The book of Revelation is an incredibly important book for us to read. Okay, it's not easy. Some places they have a lot of symbolism, it's a lot of different things. But I felt, brothers and sisters, very, very moved this week because I knew that. I knew that it was, you know, we're talking about things in this book that sometimes are tough to understand. And to be honest, I just don't feel I'm worthy of this, you know, to these kind of things. And I'm learning, you know, along the way. But God reassured me by letting me know that it is about relationships of human beings with their Creator and coming to this realization that He loved the world so much that He sent His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not die but have eternal life. And then the pressure's off. We are not following a God who writes things so that they can confuse us. We just have to ask Him, pray to Him, share our lives with Him, trust Him, and ask Him the meaning of the things that we're reading, and He'll show us. And the answer is always beautiful. Right? And so let us praise God for Advent and for this season that he has brought us into now so that we can grow in understanding what it means to say, Lord Jesus, come. Come now. He's coming soon. What does that mean to us? What does it mean to be thirsty? What does it mean to be hungry? Right? And what does it mean to receive the free gift of water that leads to eternal life? Amen? Isn't it exciting to be a Christian? The world is waiting to hear the good news. The last verse of Revelation says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen."